Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we hear more about a Price Tower Art Center exhibit devoted to one of America's finest African-American artists, Romare Bearden. From process to print, Graphic Works by Romare Bearden features 75 of his works documenting the artist's involvement in printmaking over his last 30 years. The exhibit examines the way he experimented, innovated, and collaborated with others in learning to master the print medium. The exhibit includes some of his earliest efforts and shows some of his images' evolution in the process he used to come up with a final image. It's a fascinating look at an artist's process, as well as seeing some exquisite examples of Bearden's work over the last 30 years of his life, from the 1960s through 1988. I'm joined today by Scott Perkins, curator of collections and exhibitions at the Price Tower Art Center. From process to print, Graphic Works by Romare Bearden continues at Price Tower through September 2nd. Scott Perkins is my guest today. Scott Perkins, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Rich.
Tell us a little bit about this new exhibit at Price Tower. Romare Bearden is one of our greatest African-American artists. Interesting to learn that for at least the first half of his career, he was working as an artist part-time. He's working as a social worker in New York City.
He was a social worker by training. I mean, he has, by his education degree, but he becomes a social worker in New York City. And art was always a hobby. I mean, he was an artist as a college student working for their literary journals and newspapers and things at Boston University and New York University. And it sort of carried him through. We started doing gallery shows. He's coming of age as an artist, I guess, you know, following World War II. So there's a lot of interest in Harlem, the Harlem Renaissance. And he found great success there as a painter and a collagist.
Really a Renaissance man in many ways. I mean, he's working in civil rights in the 1960s, very much involved in that, doing social work prior to that. And what's interesting is you get to see this sort of genius at work in this particular show, because this show not only shows one area of Bearden, which is, you know, very collectible now, the prints, and he came to prints fairly late, right?
He did, yeah. A lot of this was through experimentation, and I try not to think of it as he got bored with the paintings and the collages and went into printmaking. I think it was sort of a transition or an evolution from one media to the other. The collages were, I think, the greatest kind of link with these prints. He was making collages from bits of paper and bits of fabric and embellishing them with paint and things. And it was kind of his way of sort of transitioning into printmaking. He had to experiment with probably five or six different ways of printmaking. You can see the different variations in the show. Sometimes it's the same image printed in two different techniques, and you kind of see that process. And so that's really the way he was working with.
And the show begins really with, I guess, some of his first prints, right?
Yeah, and some of those kind of scratching prints.
Etchings,
you know?
Yeah. Started with etching, and some of them, you know, in some of the early pieces, it's, you know, it's not what we think of as Romare Bearden works.
Right, yeah, it's very abstract. It's got sort of a de Kooning or Pollock quality to it. I mean, just kind of intricate and kind of fussy almost. And then he kind of gets into this abstraction and this wonderful play with color and texture and movement, and you can sort of see the light bulb over his head saying, okay, I found something here. Let's go ahead and play with it.
Now, is that pretty normal for an artist to actually start with paint and then move to prints later?
I think depends on the artist, and it may be part of his just sort of growing interest in art. He was taking these classes, as, you know, night school classes or weekend classes while he was working, and it may have been something that triggered in a particular different course that he was taking. But this Art Students League that was very popular in New York had a way of, you know, allowing you to sort of float among the studios and learn different ways of working and technique. So it may have been just that he, you know, suddenly said, oh, this is kind of interesting. Let's see where it takes me.
How important is the prints in his total output today, as we look back at his life?
I don't think they're as recognized. They're definitely later works. The works that we have in the show are from the last 30 years of his life, so from the 60s to the mid-80s. I think they're getting more importance. There's been a big push this past year, especially because it was his centennial. And I think the estate and the family has done a great job of kind of bringing light to them. Most of them are limited editions, so there's not a lot of them around, but they are kind of still circulated through the galleries.
And it's interesting. You will see very iconic Romare Bearden images, but you will also see lots of interesting experiments, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And there's some of them, like the collagraphs especially, I like, which are the sort of low-level relief prints have this kind of childlike quality. They're made with just techniques such as, you know, maybe putting glue on a piece of cardboard to let it dry and give you that kind of texture that you could use to make a block print, or cutting pieces of cardboard and creating layers of cardboard that then become the ground for a print. And a lot of it is kind of experimentation. He doesn't have a lot of those, so it may be something that he didn't find favor with and went on, but there definitely was this process of learning about printmaking from very basic materials.
You're talking about that cardboard. There's a couple of images in the show, one where you actually see the plate, which is made by levels of cardboard. It is of a series he was doing. I guess he got interested in the Homeric myths.
Yes,
and
yeah.
He did a whole series of, I assume, paintings as well as prints on, you know, Odysseus and the Odyssey and the Iliad.
Yeah.
And this piece is actually called the Iliad. And you see this plate, and the plate looks like it could have hung up in a classical temple of, you know, except it has this little modernist look. But it looks like something that you could have almost made 2,000 years ago. And then when you see the print, it's utterly modern.
Yeah, it is. And he has, I think, a nice way of understanding that history and kind of bringing things into the modern.
Sort of box-like heads that the Greeks, you know, see sometimes.
Absolutely. And bringing things down to geometric forms, you know, sort of distilling the essence of a person down to shapes and colors and textures. And it's just really wonderful. It's almost like it could be a cartoon for stained glass window, or it could be, you know, kind of another geometric, you know, piece of art.
Now, the exhibit, From Process to Print, Graphic Works by Romare Bearden, which is on display at the Price Tower through September 2nd, what's about 75 images?
Mm-hmm. About 75 prints.
And it's virtually every way of making a print there is.
Yeah. We have screen prints, lithographs, the collographs that I mentioned, monotones. So anybody who enjoys... A couple of etchings. Anybody that enjoys print and printmaking would really enjoy this exhibition.
And one of the nice things is you see the process unfolding too. There's a couple of very, I would say, typical images for Bearden. One is called The Train, and you see a number of instances where you can see the prints, and he was kind of doing a collage technique with prints that particular one.
Yeah.
So why don't you describe this piece, the finished piece, and then we'll kind of talk about the process.
Well, The Train is a series, so it starts with one image, and it's a collage of photographed faces, so images that he would have cut out of magazines or newspapers and assembled. It's almost like he's recreating a photograph of African-American life at the end of the 19th century or early 20th century. You have these sort of iconic images that are very powerful, slices of watermelon. You have the train, which is a sort of a suggestion of the Underground Railroad. You have
the African-American migration.
But it's a domestic setting, so you have a little bit of house showing, you have a little bit of furniture, and you have a candle sitting in the window. And what he does is, throughout this process, then reveals and hides certain aspects of that image to make other things pop out or recede.
Mm-hmm.
So one piece in particular is very dark, except for the candle. Another piece has a very abstract slice of watermelon. The next piece will show you very detailed. And so you almost have to look at the entire series to understand the message. And he's saying, well, you know, things can be overlooked very easily, but if you go back to it and you realize what it is, there's a message there.
Yeah, in other prints, the faces are what pops
out.
Correct,
yes. Yeah, and the faces recede, or they become just circles and shapes rather than eyes and noses and mouths. It's just this very interesting way of selecting images and selecting the message of the final piece. So there's 12 of those, and then the two copper plates that show you the process.
And that theme was very important in a lot of his work, the African-American migration from the South to the North. He was a part of that himself.
He was a part of it, but in the 20th century. I mean, he's born in 1911 in North Carolina and goes to live with his grandparents in Pittsburgh, where he graduates high school. And his parents then, in the meantime, relocate to Harlem. So he, as a very young man, is sort of introduced to this Harlem Renaissance that's happening, you know, the writers, the dancers, the music. Billie Holiday, Langston Hughes, you know, just this wonderful culture there. And I think he felt very at home, and he was able to put all of these interests that he had into his artwork. So,
of course,
see
it's
a
very important social movement that was sort of overlooked for a long time by history and sort of, you know, the white culture, because this is the way out of poverty for a couple of generations of African Americans.
Yeah, and it starts getting studied, I think, a little bit more in the civil rights era in the 60s and 70s, and Bearden is part of that. He starts almost like a art history course. You know, he starts educating himself about African-American art of the time, especially in New York City. And, you know, at the time of his death, he had published a great compendium on African-American art in the United States. So.
My guest today is Scott Perkins, the curator of collections and exhibitions at the Price Tower Art Center. We're talking about the latest exhibit at the Price Tower, which has been on display all summer. It continues through September 2nd, From Process to Print, Graphic Works by Romare Bearden, one of our greatest African-American artists. And it shows the process of him getting involved in printmaking, which became very important in his latter career. And from, I guess, probably some of the earliest prints he started doing. I think there's some from, what, 1964?
Yeah, they start mid-60s to the mid-80s.
Another image which we really associate with Romare Bearden is street life and jazz. Mm-hmm. He loved to document jazz. I've got a wonderful poster print of a trombone player that he does where he's with guys wailing. And there's several images in the show. One, indeed, is Outcourse, which has that same process where you begin to see the process. And what was interesting to me is one of the earliest process pieces. You know, I always think of Romare Bearden as having these sort of stylized, sort of nondescript faces. They're like composites, if you will, and just primitive composites in many ways. But when you look at his earliest rendering of the subject of Outcourse, the faces are, you know, completely realist. Now, was that his own work, or was that, again, collage?
Well, it was based on a collage. So the more abstract, there's a series of three, I believe, in the exhibition, and the most abstract ones are almost cutout shapes of paper they look like.
And they're that's the final look.
That's the final one. And it looks as if he's sort of just moving paper around, kind of plotting it out, and then comes back in with the more realistic images. And but it's just this interesting juxtaposition between the realistic and the abstract. He's playing with color a lot, too. You start seeing a lot of detail, especially in the realistic one, detail in the clothing, detail in the musical instruments, and then it kind of blurs away into these abstractions.
And that's one of the interesting things I love about his prints, because when you see an image with human figures, your eyes are not naturally drawn to the human figure. Mm-hmm. I find my eye being drawn to the surroundings of that human figure. There's a kitchen scene, and it's two women. Either maybe the portrait of Mary Lou, which is Mary Lou Williams at the piano with the teacher. And if anything, your eye is drawn to anything but the two women at the piano. It's the surroundings.
It's the surroundings. It's the vase of flowers, or it's the, you know, the comb on the nightstand. It's all these sort of little objects. And I'm with you. I'm a design historian by nature, so I go right to the object and less about the person, and then that's sort of a secondhand, you know.
But I think that was a conscious, that has to be conscious by the artist, because normally my eye's drawn to the figure in the middle. But when I look at these things, it's like I'm looking all around the people.
Yeah.
Do you think that was a part of his
I do. I think it's part of his style, and I think it's part of his message. He starts pulling in objects that might be clues or, you know, something either about the subject or about the meaning of the painting or of the period. You know, there's a great untitled piece in the show that we've used for our exhibit that is a street scene that I really like, because it has the images of street life. It's almost like you're able to peek into windows on a Harlem street, you know, row house, and look at people inside their homes. But then you have a little bit of street sign. You have a little, you know, an image of a policeman on the corner, cat sitting in the window. You know, it's just very kind of an interesting assembly. But I think that's also part of Bearden's, you know, he's a social worker. He's interested in people. He's interested in things around them. He's interested in how they live their lives and work and live in their communities. So,
you know, when you look at that at first glance, it sort of violates all the rules of art, because there's no sort of central form in the middle, but for
there's
some
no perspective.
Yeah, but it works.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the beauty of the piece is, you know, the Harlem street scene is going to be chaotic, and this piece is chaotic as well.
His most famous piece, I think, which is one of my favorites, is called The Block, which is at the Metropolitan Museum in New York. And unfortunately, it's not in our gallery this summer, but it is one of those gigantic street scenes where it's almost like you could spend the whole day kind of walking down the street as you would walk in front of this painting and get a sense of a block of Harlem and all the people and the life and the culture that's there.
Now, collage was always a big part of his output. Mm-hmm. Do you see him working collage in conjunction with prints in the show?
Yeah, we have actually one pairing where we have the small collage and then we have the print that was the result of it. It was the print called The Lantern. And you can actually see then how he has to deal with things. Maybe it's the texture of the paper and the collage that doesn't translate so well in the print, or it's the colors. You can really kind of see this relationship side by side. We have another pairing where it's two prints, and then he over-collages on top of one of them. So maybe he, you know, just adds little bits here and there to kind of...
And what sort of material? Would it be paper, or would it be...
It's paper, it's foil, it's paint in some cases. He goes back and kind of hand-touches things up with a little bit of paint to make things pop. But primarily it's paper, and it's things just like standard, you know, construction paper, or might be newspaper, or it might be, you know, wallpaper.
And that's that really changing the definition of a print, because we think of a print as a mass production. Yeah. It's like, you know, 100.
So these become multimedia things.
And now all of a sudden every one of the, you know, if it's a series of 100 and he's doing things to each one of them, it's really not an addition anymore, is it?
Yeah. It's an artist who can't finish his work.
Scott Perkins is my guest. We're talking about From Process to Print, Graphic Works by Romare Bearden, which is on display at the Price Tower Art Center through September 2nd. Well, one of the things you see is this experimentation in virtually every sort of print media. And you were talking earlier about how one of the things that really interests you was these experiments he did with, was it collagraph?
The collagraphs,
which
yeah.
is a glue base?
Well, it's a low relief type of print. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. We have two kind of versions of what he used for collagraphs. And one is where it's almost like dripping clear Elmer's glue, you know, on a piece of cardboard and letting it dry, and you have a little bit of texture. It's stuff we would have done as a child. Very easy, you know, make a block print and then covering it with ink and rolling it onto a piece of paper, and you have this, you know, sort of instantaneous image.
And what do the images look like?
They're just abstract. They're like scribbles. So that's where he's sort of, you know, I'd say it's almost a Pollock-like way of, mm-hmm. of processing, making that art. But the other version is then cut cardboard, and it's this just cardboard that you would find, you know, on the back of a legal pad, you know, found object kind of thing, and using one piece as the base and then one piece cut up into shapes and layered on top of it. So you're sort of making, you know, two or three layers, and there's some depth there, and then running inks over it and creating a print from that as well.
You know, it's interesting, his subject matter, because, you know, a lot of it is about African-American life, street life, community life, mm-hmm. Jazz, the migration, a lot of that. Both he and Jacob Lawrence were very much involved in that. But he went through a series where it's like there's a, you know, I assume out of the civil rights era, sort of this sort of pan-African mm-hmm. sort of viewpoint, you know, these very stylized images that are in the show of, you know, where Africa is shown. And
right.
And then there's sort of a slice of contemporary life next to it, where Africa, the shape of Africa sort of melds into this image. But then all of a sudden he's involved in the myths, the great Homeric myths, and there's a number of really interesting pieces, like Odysseus coming back to Greece. I guess we mentioned the one earlier of the Iliad. This was a big interest for him.
Yeah. Well, the first piece you talked about with the shape of Africa is called Roots, and so we're thinking, you know, obviously, you know, the book and the miniseries that were coming out in the '70s. So there was a lot of interest in that, I think, just finding one's roots, mm-hmm. And it may be just, you know, the idea of travel and movement and going from one place to the other and creating these kind of journeys, you know, really. He and his wife relocate to the Caribbean, or have, you know, part of their year spent in the Caribbean. So there was this interest in, I think, you know, water and boats and going overseas and getting somewhere. And it sort of comes out in that. But, you know, again, I think it all goes back to his kind of interest in world art and world history and mythology and the Bible studies and all of that sort of thing that he was really looking at.
There are a couple sort of biblical subjects too, mm-hmm. and again, it's, I always have been intrigued by, you know, all the European depictions of biblical scenes where, yes. you know, everybody looks like they're Norwegian.
Yes.
And these are people of the Middle East.
Yeah, they are. And it raises up, you know, a lot of questions and a lot of sort of interest, I think, in Bearden's understanding of the Bible. The baptism is a mm-hmm. big component of his. I think we have three pieces with that same title in the show. So it's this kind of cleansing, and, you know, I think it's just a very strong interest for him.
My guest today is Scott Perkins. We're talking about, he's the curator of collections and exhibitions at the Price Tower Art Center, which is hosting a show by the graphic works of Romare Bearden through September 2nd. And Romare's been gone for a while, and, you know, I think if anything, there's more and more interest in his work.
Mm-hmm. That has a lot to do with the foundation. I mean, there was a foundation started by his wife, and who's since passed away, but they are working very hard to sort of keep him in the spotlight.
I think there's been a lot more interest, really, when you look at both him and Lawrence, mm-hmm. since their death.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I guess it was just a long process of accepting black artists into the overall sort of, quote, art world, if you will.
Yeah, how do you fit? I think a lot of it had to do with the end of the 20th century. I mean, that we've noticed, you know, line went down, and now we can talk about the 20th century with brackets on it and placing artists that have, you know, contributed, especially like him, a great span of the 20th century. There's now sort of a growing interest in later 20th century art, too. So I think that's very interesting. I went to the post office, you know, a year and a half ago, and there's a poster for Romare Bearden postage stamps. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you think, well, you know, why wasn't there a postage stamp by him 30 years ago when he died? You know, why is it now just happening? But I think the centennial drew a lot of attention to him, and people are starting to look at him. There's collectors out there collecting him, and now there's a series of museums doing exhibitions.
Now, you're seeing these images day in and day out at the Art Center. Mm-hmm. What's capturing your eye after repeated seeings?
Oh, there are lots of things that stop me. I mean, it might just be, he's got a way of using eyes. You know, cutting faces out in such a way that maybe the eyes are a little wonky and a little strange, and it's almost cubist, and it's very interesting to look at, and I might just sort of stop and look at one in a new way that I don't before. So I'm very interested in these kind of photo montage pieces that developed into prints, and how, you know, he probably had a box of noses and a box of eyes and faces, and he would just sort of play around and, you know, why is this one better than that one, or lips. And so I just think that that's very appealing to me. It's that kind of thought process behind the work.
I found what was interesting was seeing, again, going back to that out course, was where you have these very realistic rendering of the faces, and all of a sudden he basically, I don't want to say he cubes them, but it's sort of that he puts the elements of geometry into their face and removes any individual features, and it's this iconic sort of look, which I see with a lot of his jazz works.
Yeah. I mean, is it a no man or is it an every man? I mean, do you really want to relate to it, or you just want to understand that it's a human form? It's an interesting question.
Yeah. Well, the show continues through September 2nd. About 75 works of Romare Bearden will be on display through the rest of the summer at the Price Tower Art Center, just a short drive north in Bartlesville. Scott Perkins, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Scott Perkins is the curator of collections and exhibitions at the Price Tower Art Center. Price Tower is featuring the work of Romare Bearden, From Process to Print, Graphic Works by Romare Bearden, featuring 75 images on display at Price Tower through September 2nd. More information at pricetower.org. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Barry Friedman.
My name is Jack, and I have done something to my wrist. It's black and blue, and I can't make a fist. Must have banged it on something. Yesterday, it was fine. I'm 85 years old, and I'm falling apart. 85. I just had this procedure. Wasn't a surgery, they keep insisting. on my back. It was to remove some moles. Maria, she's the home health nurse, comes over every day to change the dressing. Very nice woman. Drives a Mercedes. Anyway, she says the incision looks good, but who knows? It's probably cancer. Also, had an ultrasound done on my gallbladder 2 days ago. It may have to come out. I need this like a hole in the head. I have an irregular heartbeat, too, in case I'm short of things wrong with me. I take Chlorcon, which is for the potassium, and furosemide, which is for the heart, and Savastatin, which is for the cholesterol, and the Coumadin, which is for the heart also, and magnesium, which is for God knows what. I also drink Ensure. I like the chocolate. And now I take Prozac. All I do is take pills. Lately, I get up in the middle of the night and drive to the Suncoast or Red Rock and play craps and drink because I can't sleep. I won big the other night, but I was betting foolishly. I don't do it that often, and I only have two or three drinks, and I drive home slowly, and the house is close by. I know. You don't have to say anything. A year ago, I was playing tennis every day and bowling. Now I get winded putting on my shoes, and I'm cold all the time. I got doctors and nurses, and it doesn't cost me a dime. My main doctor's from Ethiopia with a name you shouldn't know from it. Sweet woman, but everything hurts. Everything. I got one son who wants me to move to California. The other wants me to move to Oklahoma. And my daughter wants me in New York. I don't want to live with any of them. They have lives. My wife died 13 years ago. She was 69. Could have had another 10 years. Wouldn't have killed anybody. But okay, she had a life. She wasn't cut short. Lately, I wake up and I walk into the kitchen because I think she's calling me. The other morning, I could have sworn she said, "What the hell are you doing in Las Vegas, Jack?" I was always afraid when I left New Jersey after she died that if she came back, she wouldn't be able to find me. She's buried in Long Island. We have a family circle plot. I told my kids, when I die, no matter what, you get me back there. Now it's just me. Still do some tax work. I play pinochle on Mondays with my friends. One's a retired cop, another a dealer from Caesars, and another a Catholic insurance agent, very religious guy, goes to Mass every morning. I tell him, we Jews gave him his God. He gets hysterical. I'm the oldest one in the group. I'm running with a girl, Jeanette, sweet, nice, but I tell her, no marriage. There will be no marriage. I break down a lot, too. The other day at the sports book in New York, my son was there. I don't want to do this in front of him. He's the comedian, the one from Oklahoma. Good boy, but sometimes he treats me like a two-year-old. My wife used to tell him, don't worry about your father. When you're not around, believe me, he's fine. He puts his pants on one leg at a time without your help. Nah, he means well. Anyway, I'm sitting in this casino, and I'm crying, and there's 10,000 baseball games going on. He wants me to move to Oklahoma. Oklahoma. Yeah, I told you. Who moves to Oklahoma? It's not going to get better, I know that. The other day I was doing a crossword puzzle. It's good brain exercise. I came across the word odious, and that's what this is. It's odious. So on my daughter's desk last time I was in New York, some sort of plaque thing, it said, a person should want to live if only out of curiosity. Sure. Why not? 85, though. 85! How the hell did that happen? And what the hell did I do to my wrist?
The comments of Barry Friedman. He's a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you miss one of our recent shows, they're available online anytime at our website, publicradiotulsa.org. Also, you can catch up on the latest news there anytime, day or night. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.